Well, good evening. And we wanted to say welcome to, if there are any visitors here. If you're a visitor here, we would love for you to connect with us. And we wanted to say welcome. This congregation, we are on a journey of really, really, really wanting to encounter Him. And I pray that you would feel, if you're visiting here, that you would feel the warmth of our love. And that we hopefully you would see the hunger we have to encounter Him. And we don't want to let go of Him. Remember when Mary was anointing Jesus at His feet, and the disciples were doing calculations and saying, if she just sold that, we can ministry to the poor. And then Jesus interrupted their thoughts and He said to them, you'll always have the poor amongst you, but I'm here tonight. You have Me. And I've noticed there are times He's always with us, but then there are times He comes in a special way. And when we step into those times, our hearts should be like the two on the road to Emmaus. Please don't go on. Come with us. Stay with us. We don't want to let go of Him. We want to cling to Him. And our worship is sometimes messy. Sometimes it's songs. Sometimes it's good theology. Sometimes it's shouting. Sometimes it's wine and romance. And we have this incredible God. And I felt something in my heart as we started sound check, and we just started seeing come romance us again, Lord. Come romance us again. And I was reminded of the last time we read about ourselves in the Bible is the language is used, a bride and the Spirit in partnership saying, come. There's a wedding coming, and we want warm hearts and when He comes. And I wanted to just say to this PM family, thank you for staying in it. We need to stay in it until long silence moments are not uncomfortable for us anymore. We don't need songs to encounter Him. We just need the eyes of our hearts wide open to gaze upon and look upon and see Him. And I feel words get in the way. And may we hold these moments tenderly and beautifully and just gaze upon and look at Him. Remember when John, Revelation 5, he was now weeping because there's no one found worthy to open up the scroll. And then someone taps him on the shoulder and he says, John, don't weep, there is one. Do you know who tapped John on the shoulder? It was one of those elders that were bowing, throwing their crowns at the feet of Jesus, right? And I almost want to say to you, this is the first responsibility of an elder is to say, behold Him. There He is. Look at Him. See Him. Feast on Him. Delight in Him. He has eternally been the pleasure. The pleasures at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to share something tonight that I feel like it's a word that I'm carrying in my heart. And is it okay if Sonia plays for you guys? You can fall asleep. You're more than welcome. Last night we ministered at Melkbos, Just Jen. They have a camp in Simonstown. We went through and we just had a worship evening. And almost like tonight for me, there's a weightiness came into the room. At some point we just stopped playing, and they just couldn't move. They just sat there in silence. We eventually left. I don't know for how long they kept sitting there. Just waiting. Just being with. Gazing, enjoying, and looking upon Him. And I'll try and do this as short as possible. I said it last week, I want to say it again. The most exhilarating, most beautiful, most glorious revelation of God is Jesus. And you need to make the study of the beauty of God revealed in Him a high priority in your life. That's how you keep your heart burning. Christ is Christianity, and I said it last week. He's the author, the finisher, the sustainer, and the substance of the Christian life. He holds us together. There's no Christianity without Him, because we don't build with values, principles, and there are those in scriptures. No, our connection is to a living man, fully alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're in Him. And He lives in us. And tonight I wanted to talk about an aspect of Him, but I feel it's vital and important to do so. I want to jump into our story, Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. And now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And I want you to notice that question. Who do people say I am? Because there were rumors. I think even at that stage, the disciples were like, not 100% sure. He could be like, I've heard rumors saying, people say I'm a prophet. Some say I'm Elijah. Some people say I'm, what do people say I am? He asked His disciples. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. One of the prophets. He said to them, and this is where we're going to land tonight. This is where I'm going to put up the handbrake. Probably the most important question, or at least one of the most important questions you can ask yourself. He turns to them and he says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So you need to, let me read further before, I don't want to get ahead of myself. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Can you imagine in that moment, Peter have had eyes on Jesus for a very long time, and suddenly the revelation of the one he's looking at unfolds and opens up in his spirit. It's like his eyes, the veils are pulled back, and he sees Jesus, really sees Jesus for the first time. Can you imagine that moment for Peter? Sitting there like, and the Father opens, heaven whispers, and he sees the Eternal One. He really sees Him. "You are the Christ, like the Son of the living God." Like I thought, but now I really, really see. And Jesus said to him, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Interesting enough, he took them to the city Caesarea Philippi, where they worshipped the pagan god Pan, the half deer, half man god. It was the hot seat of idol worship in the day of Jesus. They had 24/7 orgies in temples, blood sacrifices. It was called the gates of hell. If you stayed in the area, you would walk far around to miss that town. He took them there. That's the backdrop of where they're sitting. They are sitting in the gates of hell, Caesarea Philippi. And when he says to Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," Jesus is not saying, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on you." Jesus is saying, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on the revelation that's inside of you now. The revelation that I am God. I am Christ. That will become the foundation of my house. The revelation that I am fully God. I am Christ, the Son of the living God, eternal. I'll build my house on that revelation inside of you. Peter, you with me? We're going to go on a little journey. Hopefully you'll see. I want to jump to Luke 24, verse 35. So Jesus says to Peter, Peter, who do you say I'm to his disciples? The Father whispers into Peter's heart. The veils are pulled back and he sees him. The revelation come. You are the Christ, the Son of God. Right? Jesus says to him, on that revelation I will build my church. We're jumping into a story. Jesus has now been crucified. The grave is empty. The chapter just before what we're going to read, the Marys have now been at the tomb. There's now rumors spreading, you know, of angels being encountered and Jesus not being there. And is it real? Is it not real? Is it stories? What's going on here? That's where we are. Now we're picking up the first thing in the Gospel of Luke. The first thing Jesus does after he's been resurrected in the Gospel of Luke. That very day, two men, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor here in Jerusalem and does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" I mean, and he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus," and listen to the language. So they were in the party of Jesus, but doubt has settled on their hearts. It's no revelation yet. So listen to the language. "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth," and I want you to see that. "A man who was a prophet." Who do people say I am? "A man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped," hear the language, not sure, "but we had hoped that he maybe was the one to redeem us. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." I mean, we're not sure. "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ," go back for me, please. Oh, there you are. "Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory." And love this. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So Moses is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And the prophets are all the books of the prophets that follows after them, the major and the minors. Can you imagine that conversation? Jesus taking Genesis 1 and unpacking himself in Genesis 1, in Genesis 2, in Genesis 3. Everything pertaining himself in the Old Testament, he takes it out one by one and he lets them look at him. See him. See what he's doing. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. And I love this. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us. For it is towards evening and the day is now far spent." So we went in to stay with him. That's a preach all by itself. So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. You know what's beautiful when I read that? He broke the bread that was already broken for them. And their eyes were opened, the same as with Peter. The veil was pulled back. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They see him. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? So Jesus says to Peter, on this revelation, I will build my church. The very first thing he does after his resurrection, he starts laying the foundation of the house. The revelation that he is fully God. You'll see why I'm going with this. You can continue. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, because they were now wanting to tell everyone. They've seen him, the revelation of Jesus. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, listen how their language has changed. What was their language in the beginning? Jesus, a man from Nazareth, a prophet. You know, we hoped that he might have. Listen now. The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. See how they've transitioned their eyes as they saw. He's no longer Jesus from Nazareth. He's no longer the man, maybe, hopefully. No, the revelation came. He is God. You know, the first time we get the hint of Lord, Abraham speaks to God and he calls him Adonai. Adonai means master, Lord. I love that. The Lord has risen. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was to them in the breaking of the bread. The revelation that Jesus is Lord, fully God. You guys still with me? We're jumping to Acts 2, 14 to 41. They are waiting for the promise to come. And the Spirit is poured out. And they start speaking in different languages and different tongues. And it was a crowded Jerusalem. So this is now, we are now reading the birth of the church. She's now coming out of the womb. We see a picture of her taking her first couple of breaths. But she gathers a crowd because it looks like crazy people. It's midday. Why are they drunk? You know. And Peter sees the opportunity. And I want you guys to see this. This is actually a very simple. It's not a great big revelational. I'll tell you at the end why I'm doing what I'm doing. Peter gathers the crowd. He sees the opportunity. We're picking up where Peter is now arguing for his case, the case of Christ. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So he's now taking him back to prophecies that were spoken about this hour. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show you wonders in the heavens and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Hear now, he starts his argument. Listen to the language and remember, trace back. Who did people say I am? The two on the road to Emmaus. Did you not hear these things concerning Jesus, a man from Nazareth? So Peter starts the argument right there. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, because that's what you believe, just a prophet, a man, attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan of God, foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. He's like saying to them, I know all of you know David. He's dead and he's died and he's still dead. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did he see his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of what we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I want you to see something. Peter reveals Jesus. He doesn't teach sin. He doesn't teach repentance. He preaches this Jesus is Lord. He's not merely a man or just a prophet from Nazareth. No, he comes from the throne. He is Lord. He preaches Jesus. And when he preached Jesus and the revelation of Jesus came, scripture says they were cut to the heart, and then they said, what do we do now? And then Peter preaches sin and repentance. Are you with me? And they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation, so that those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Do you know what's the next verse? Verse 42, it says, what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. They were in one another's house. The church gathered daily. They went together to the temple. They met in homes to pray, break bread. You know what's interesting? Between verse 41 and verse 42, I don't see Peter gathering the church, the 3,000 now, and say to them, let me tell you, give you the values of the Christian life. And I want to read it this way to you. The church is born, 3,000 added at the revelation of Jesus. And not only a revelation of Jesus, the revelation that this Jesus is Lord and Savior, and Lord and Christ, God. He doesn't say, this language is very intentional. It's not, and this Jesus is both Savior and Redeemer. He is. It's not the language they use. It's that he's Lord. God in the flesh. So verse 42 should read, and the 3,000 were added. and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings because of the revelation of Jesus. And they devoted themselves to prayer because of the revelation of Jesus. And they devoted themselves to fellowship because of the revelation of Jesus. And they devoted themselves to prayer because of the revelation of Jesus, and that this Jesus is Lord. The word Lord is curious. Some of the guys, the Greek guys, will say it better, but it simply means one that has absolute power and authority over another. It's out of that revelation that the church was born. Absolute authority. I'm no longer my own. I'm no longer my own. It's to give ownership away. You're not your, you don't belong to yourself anymore. See, that's the revelation that came in when they, the revelation, Jesus, Lord, Master, God, that's the context. Gave ownership away. You're Lord of my life. Fully surrendered, fully submitted, fully obedient. But it starts with this revelation that He is Lord. Are you guys still with me? Let's look 6:46 to 49. Jesus talks, why do you call me Lord? Lord, Lord. You know when words in the Bible are repeated twice, it's like the exclamation mark, right? It's very important. So that He's saying to them, your words, you put me first. But in your deeds, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? In other words, you've not given away ownership. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what that guy and that girl is like. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep and who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. What rock? The revelation that He is Lord. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell in ruin, and the ruin of that house was great. Why do you call me Lord? But you've not given ownership away. I have parts of you, but not all of you. I need ownership of all of you. Here's the thing. The revelation that Jesus is Lord, Master, is the funnel through which the kingdom comes into the church. That He's Lord. He's the head of the church. He's preeminent over everything. Philippians 2, verse 9 and 11. I'm almost done, guys. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We started our journey tonight with a question. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Remember when Jesus said He'll build the house on the apostles and the prophet, but Paul said that, but Christ being the cornerstone. The revelation of Jesus permeating the house. The foundation. And this house, this PM house, our cups need to run over with the revelation of this Jesus. We can't give ourselves more to principles and values than we give ourselves to knowing Him. If you've not given yourself away, if you've not allowed Him to take ownership, possession of you, then tonight's a good night to do so. And maybe there are areas in your life that has this revelation of Him being Master, Lord, but it's not been given to Him. Clarence spoke about doors. It needs to be open. It's all. It's not parts. But the most beautiful thing, when this revelation that Jesus is Lord, when the veil is pulled back and you start seeing it, because we all know this, right? We sing it, we believe it. I mean, it's there in our faithing. But oh my goodness, the last couple of weeks, it's like I've been seeing it. Not hearing it, not think I know it. It's like I'm seeing the Lordship of Christ. That He's the head. And I'm finding my place right there at His feet. Giving Him full ownership of my life. Every part of me is Yours. And I was thinking about something. And that's really what I wanted to share. I wanted to teach tonight that Jesus is Lord. And that's the very foundation we build upon. We build on that foundation. Remember last week, what did I say? Apostles, elders, deacons doesn't build healthy churches. Jesus does. In partnership with Him and with all of you. But Jesus, the sustainer, the substance of this thing we do. And we have to burn with revelation concerning this beautiful Christ. This man that's fully alive. At the right hand of the Father, highly exalted, preeminent, glorious, magnificent. And the more we put Him at His rightful place, the more we live. The more alive we become. If you seek to find your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake, you will find it. And I was thinking about something as we drove to church to soundcheck for worship. You know what I think we do well? I think as a PM, I think we can jump. I think we can dance. I think we can shout. I think we sing loud. I think we can wait. I think we can drink. You know what? I haven't seen us do much as bow. Bow, Lord. Reverence and awe. And, oh, seeing Him rightly. How can you not see Him rightly and your knees doesn't want to bend? And then He would put His hand on John and say, no, you're not going to die, John. Come up. Remember John fell at His feet as though dead when he saw Him. He's just like the revelation. He saw it, felt dead. She's like, no, come here. Jesus is Lord. It sounds so simple. So I wanted us as a house to respond to that. Just maybe close your eyes for a moment, please. Is there anyone here tonight, you've never given Him ownership of your life, you've never given your life to Him, and you want to give your life to Jesus? If there's anyone here like that,